Welcome to Women Take Stock. It is cold out there. As I speak, Texas is currently under a deep freeze and the rest of the country is too. And so, well, we thought it would be a good time to just kind of take the temperature, get it? About where we're at.
We can warm ourselves by the glow of our friendship and stock returns.
Yes, warmed by the glow of my portfolio. God, I wish. So we don't have Tula to start the show. So do we need to do like a let's start the show or just...
That seems fitting, that circus music right now.
We are four friends all at different places in our financial and personal lives looking to pull back the curtain on the seemingly mysterious, often testosterone-driven world of stock investing.
And if four women without business degrees can figure out the market as a side hustle, so can you.
Join us as we learn the basics, buy, sell, scratch our heads, hold our breath, commiserate, and celebrate, hopefully more of the latter. We aren't experts, so please note that this podcast is for general information purposes only.
Yeah, anything resembling financial advice is purely coincidental.
That said, we are hoping to make a little or a lot of money doing this. And if money is power, we want some of that too.
So have you guys been? We haven't talked about our portfolios in a few days. We've seemed to be only talking about the deep freeze. And we should mention that Tula isn't with us today because, well, she has no power, no gas, no heat, no electricity. And I think she was like forced out of her apartment complex because of carbon monoxide because people in the garage were using their cars to warm up or something. So
yes, crazy.
She literally doesn't have the energy to check on her portfolio right now.
She has her portfolio and that's what counts.
She has her portfolio. We should check it for her. When we hear back, we're like, Tula, sorry you lost everything, but your Bitcoin's up.
Bitcoin is up.
Bitcoin is up.
Briefly, let's talk about that. I mean, this has been a wild week. I think Bitcoin broke $50,000 for the first time.
Yeah. And then it hit 51 and 52.
And there's constantly this thing where I say to myself, when it hits X, that's when I'm going to sell, of course. And then it hits X and I'm like, I'm just going to hold on for a little longer here.
Someone I know was like, when it hits 70, I'm going to sell. And then they told me yesterday, well, it hit 52. So I decided to sell half. So he kept his gains, left his original investment in there. So it's sort of a win-win for him.
Yeah.
I like that approach.
Yeah. That is my plan when I hit X, which keeps changing. But my plan is to hit X and sell the initial amount of money I invested and then just grow on the gains after that. But my X is moving.
So y'all actually have a level right now you're thinking of for selling your Bitcoin.
Yeah, mine is 1 million.
I'm definitely selling at 1 million too. I think I'll just piggyback off that.
Long hold for me on Bitcoin. Unless I need the money, and I've sold some in the past because I actually needed the money to pay some bills and some other expenses. So that for me, I recommend hold crypto until you actually need the funds. It's your long-term investment. What about you, Jen?
What do I recommend?
Well, sorry.
These are not recommendations.
These are not recommendations. I do want to get to a point, and I'm not sure. Originally, it was I wanted to double the amount that I originally put in, but now I'm kind of getting greedy, and I'm like, I want to wait till it triples the amount that I originally put in. And crazily, we're actually kind of not that far from that. I mean, it really could happen, which would be wild. The funny thing is I look at my portfolio and it's gone up decently this week, but largely only because of crypto. Like all of my sort of more conventional stocks and holdings aren't doing so great. And what's funny is that some of them that should be doing good aren't. I'm actually, I sold off most of my fuel cell, F-cell stock, which I had done really, really well on. And I sold it off. And then for the next few days, it kept going up and up and up still more. And of course, I was beating myself up. And so now I have like a fractional share mostly so I can keep tabs on it easily. And it's kind of like, what's the word? Schadenfreude? I don't know. It's going down. And I'm like, thank God, because then I don't feel like such an idiot, except that that's not a very nice thing to think.
What's your measure for when you think your portfolio is not doing well? Are you looking at the returns like for that day? Are you looking at them across 3 months?
I generally look across a week or 3 months, depending. Like I recently bought some stock in a biotech company that does something about genetics and rare diseases that I really don't understand, but I...
What's the name?
It is called AID. Well, I know the call letters, AGTC, Applied Genetic Technologies. And a couple of weeks ago, I got this app that I was playing with called TipRank. And they look at, they kind of average out what a number of analysts project for a specific stock. And all of them, there were like six or seven analysts who were projecting huge gains in this sort of obscure company. And so I figured, oh, what the heck, I'll throw $50 in. And then it went up and up. And then I threw in another 50. So I think I put in a total of $100, but it's been, it really did. I mean, today it's not doing so great, but since I bought in, it's gone up almost 70%. So
that's not bad.
But it's funny because, you know, you look at it and say like today it's going down, but you can't look at that, right?
Today, yeah. The volatility aspect of every stock, you know, when it's going down in one day, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it could mean something, but it just means it's going down for that day. For the most part, I don't think, you know, I don't know if we've really experienced since we started this, our stocks or the entire market completely tanking, you know, like maybe we'll use the words tanking or we'll use the words it's skyrocketing or to the moon. But generally speaking, I don't think the stock market has gone super wild since March of last year when everything literally tanked.
Right. And to be honest, we started this, I mean, we've been doing this at a time when it's been historically high and going up. And so I'm not that I want to get to the place where it's all going down, but it's a lot easier to be excited about it when we're seeing that we're making gains.
Yes, I would second that. Well, I am this week, the JJ portfolio. Well, not this week. I would say lately, I think one of my kind of baby JJ loves stocks was Aphria, which I bought at 8. And then I think it was last week, it went up to 26, just Ooh. Jumped in one day. But at the same time, most of my portfolio, I like it and I'm just holding it to see what goes up. I need to develop a strategy as to when I'm going to sell it or when I think it tops out. But basically, it went up a lot. I actually had some debt I wanted to pay off. But I thought, you know, it's looking really good now. I think I'm just going to take these gains and use that money to pay off some debt. And literally the next day it fell and it hasn't topped that.
So?
I sold. Yeah, I sold it all.
That's good.
At basically near the all-time high, which feels really bizarrely lucky and nothing to do at all with me or my skill or whatever.
Yes, it did.
Well, maybe it
had to do with you paying attention, let's just say.
I was paying attention because I noticed it had gone up 10% one day and then the next day it went up another, I think 10 or 12%. And I thought, holy smoke, something's going on. And I couldn't find any actual news. And I think the dearth of actual news for me meant this is a gyration. It's not based on, oh, suddenly, you know, I don't know, Aphria opens 1,000 marijuana grocery stores and they sell out the first day. You know, it wasn't anything you could say this is actually part of the business. And so I suppose in that regard, it was an informed choice to sell at that point.
Yeah, give yourself some credit.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Wait, so I have a question for JJ. You sold off your whole portfolio?
No, I sold off Aphria.
Oh, just one. Okay, sorry.
Just one stock. Yeah. And so I have a fear that what's going to happen at the end of the tax year, of course, the brokerage I use will give me a little tax form, but I have a fear that I'm going to like forget about all these capital gains.
You mean like because they're going to email you the notifications for your 2020 tax forms and you might... you know, delete it by mistake or it'll go to spam and you'll just completely forget that you have to give that to your tax accountant.
Yes,
exactly. But I feel like the gains are so small that if the IRS actually went out after me for not paying my capital gains on my Bitcoin earnings, it would be a big waste of time for them.
It's well, a bit like, unfortunately, what I can tell you from some experience, not related to investments, but when the government comes to audit you, that it's not actually a big waste of their time. It's a big waste of your time and your money, because it's on you to provide them all the documentation that they ask for and require. So whether you do it yourself or you pay your tax accountant to help you, it's your onus and your responsibility to provide the government with the information they request during an audit.
So check your inbox is what you're saying?
Definitely check your inbox for sure. And, you know, even a small amount of gains that you don't report, I think anything you don't report, even mistakenly, red flags you to the government. So you just kind of want to be careful and beyond that.
And I have to say that the question of gains, I mean, this is definitely a newbie investor topic that I think we need to focus on, because I really wasn't thinking about that at all. And so when you see that you've, you know, made whatever, $100 in gains, it's not $100 in gains. It's like 80, right? I mean, it's whatever.
Or less, depending on what your tax bracket is.
Right, exactly. And it was funny because you remember a little while ago when I was messing around with my Robinhood app and I accidentally sold all of my Bitcoin and then quickly rebought it. I thought that I only had lost a few dollars in that that transaction, but I actually just got my little tax form from Robinhood that shows me that I actually, because I made some gains and, you know, basically I owed money. I will owe money on my idiocy. So, so I actually lost more money on my really bad late night messing around with my app situation than I thought.
Yeah. And basically reinvesting that money does not negate the gain that you made.
And so, I thought that it would for some reason, but it,
I know, bummer.
I know, total bummer.
But also that brings up the point, any loss you make, that does offset your capital gains tax burden.
Indeed.
Oh, goody.
It's just worth, I think this conversation really just shows it's worth keeping those tax responsibilities kind of top of mind throughout everything. Because of course, and we know too, if you hold your stock for longer than a year, then you don't owe capital gains, or at least at the same rate.
It would.
Yeah.
Even if you sell it after a year, you don't pay capital gains.
Really? What? So it's about if you sell it within the same year?
Yeah.
Or so you only make gains on the year that you sold it?
Now
we need a tax professional as a guest soon, I think.
We need a Google. Yeah.
I mean, basically, do a Google search. But yeah, basically capital gains tax on stock sales, it's a lot different from holding it less than a year to holding it more than a year. Hmm. And it's more beneficial to hold it for longer.
I see. Huh.
So I think for me, with my investing, it doesn't matter quite so much because I'm not looking at my strategy around the taxes. Although hopefully soon I'll have so much in, I'll have to do that.
But I think your strategy of paying off your debt, even if you have to pay capital gains, when you sell your shares, you have pay capital gains. And then with the remainder, you pay off your credit card debt. I think that's really smart, whether it's credit card or loan or whatever, just getting any debt off your plate is a smart move. And I think that should be something we talk about in our future episode, or we can talk about it right now. Should you invest when you have credit card debt or any other kind of loan debt?
I think one of the things about this message that you shouldn't invest at all if you have debt, for so many people, and especially for so many women, that keeps them out of the market because, oh, they have some credit card debt or a student loan or whatever. And if you're constantly, if you're saying, well, I can't invest at all in the stock market
until I pay that off.
Until I pay that off, then you're talking about years.
Right.
Yeah, that absolutely kept me out of this playing space until I decided, well, wait a minute. If I can invest money and maybe potentially make a lot of money and then pay off my debt, why would I not want to take that risk? Why would I not want to try that?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because of this investment in Aphria meant between September and when I sold it, you know, last week or so in February, I made a lot better returns on that investment. And it wasn't that much. It was like 100 shares. I made a lot better returns on that than if I would have put that money directly, the savings of interest rate payments, if I'd put it all in to my debt in September.
Because the gains on the stock were bigger than the percent that you would have to pay on the debt.
Exactly. Plus the debt, right?
Right. Plus the debt, of course, the principal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I myself had two small personal loans that I have had for a couple of years. And I just decided to kind of back burner them, continue my monthly payments as scheduled. And eventually, just like you, JJ, a few weeks ago, I recognized, oh, I made enough money that I should just take the gains and pay off those small loans. And I did. And doesn't it feel really great?
It does.
You feel this like sense of freedom, even though you still have financial obligations, there's still this sense of that weight being taken off of you, which is really
well. Yeah. And also, I think this feeling of having somewhat in a very small way beat the money people at their game,
You know,
because so often I feel at a disadvantage that they've got you, you know, because of your credit rating or what the credit card company will do or say, or what your bank will say, or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, there are people out there who are, you know, people who trade and make money when the value of the dollar changes by a cent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then to actually have done something in a smart way that's advantageous to you as a person, rather than like kind of always playing the same game. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, that so often, especially again, this goes to women, that we play the game the way others want us to play it.
Right. Rule followers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I get such a kick out of the days when I see, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went up 1% or 2% or however many points. And I'm like, ooh, I did better than that. There are days I've done worse than that, but it always feels really good to be like, I did better than the average.
But, you know, stepping back a bigger picture, and always a question is, why is the stock market a measure of our economic success and failure on a day-to-day basis when only, you know, X percent of the entire American population utilize the stock market as an investment tool? I find that really curious. And I think it's really misleading. And I think it's difficult for regular people to see that and think, wait, the economy is doing great, but I am completely poor and bankrupt. And what's wrong with me? And it just cycles into this sort of snowball effect. And it really works against the little guy, and, you know, us included.
I just listened to a really good podcast featuring Paul Krugman from the New York Times talking about this issue, about how bankers and the Fed and all these folks feel about the economy, and how that's so often divorced from everyone else and the sentiment. And there was this one sentence he said, oh, and how, for example, they might use averages, you know, they say, oh, the average income went up during 2020. And he said, yeah, just like if Jeff Bezos walks into a bar, the average income in the bar, like everybody's suddenly a billionaire.
Right.
Wow. I love that. That's a great little anecdote. That's great.
Right. Even now, however many months we've been doing this, like half a year, I still find it really surprising how divorced a company's actual valuation can be from its actual, you know, like there's not necessarily a connection between how much they're producing, how much they're making, how much they're earning, what their profit is, and the price of their stock. And that, and I think actually my little investment in cryptocurrency has really taught me so much about that, because cryptocurrency isn't about any product. It is completely about valuation, value of nothing. I mean, it's like, it's a very strange thing. It doesn't have to do with anything. Right?
The human perception,
it has to do with
of the value
perception
of this currency is
the, I mean, it's crazy that why is Bitcoin now at 50,000 and, you know, Dodge or Doge or however you pronounce it is, you know, still hovering around 5 cents. They're essentially the same exact thing, right? There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's no tangible product. There's nothing you can actually hold. Mm-hmm.
But I think actual companies, it's also the same. It's not actually about a tangible product. It's about the spin or the psychology around it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I find it actually quite frustrating when their EPS is higher than the previous quarter and that they appear to be doing really well, but their stock is tanking.
EPS being what? Earnings per share?
Earnings per share. Mm-hmm. So I don't particularly understand how that can be completely divorced from the actual stock itself going down for a week or two or a month or 3 months when their earnings are great.
Right.
Or at least acceptable or reaching certain standards.
So the question is, as we want to learn more and become better investors, do we study how companies work and make things and profit, or do we study psychology?
Psychology. My vote is for psychology.
Or do we study crystal balls?
You can do that.
I'm going to do that. I have to tell you, the stock that my magic eight ball told me to buy is still doing good.
Which one was that?
It's the what's it called? My space stock, Intergalactic. My Intergalactic stock.
There's something about that. It just sounds like it should be doing good.
It's so crazy. I mean, it's not doing good today, but like, let's see, since I bought it. I don't know. What was that? Like 3 months? Well, in 3 months, it's gone up 130%.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So thank you, Magic 8 Ball.
Well, and how much is the price per share?
Right now, it's as of today, it's $49.42. When did I buy it? When I bought it, my average share cost was $27.11.
That's a nice entry point for a stock.
I wish I had 10,000 shares of that.
I know, right? I don't. I have three.
You know, I have to say, I would settle for, you say 10,000. I would settle for five or even
1,000 or five. Four, okay, we're in the thousands still, though. So
yeah.
Yeah, my three shares probably, this is not going to make me rich or pay off any debt or anything.
But, you know, the takeaway from some of that is it seems like the majority of well-heeled businesses are, over the long term, going up and doing better and increasing in their value over time. So, you know, is the answer that most stocks from well-performing companies are actually just long holds?
Right.
Mm. You know, you're a complete day trader, or you just go in for the long hold and the long haul, rather.
Yeah. So it's interesting too. Recently, a lot of these, I mean, Jen, a lot of the stocks you've been talking about, fuel cell, space travel.
There's a theme here.
These are all really, kind of like techie style stocks. But I was thinking, I read something just today about L'Oreal saying there's going to be a roaring 20s style boom in cosmetics.
When we all get to go outside.
What does that mean? Like everyone's going to be a flapper?
No, it means like when we all start going out again, people are going to be just going mad with all their cosmetics and their makeups and their hair care and their body care. And I've been really thinking about this lately, that there's been so much focus on tech. I mean, for good reason. It's a barnstorming area right now where you can make really good returns. But I think I'm going to spend some time looking at some kind of stocks that are a little more down to earth, mm-hmm. like that are in the cosmetics or healthcare.
Personal care.
Yeah,
right. An investor I follow recommended Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Interesting thinking, correct? It's like once everyone starts going out again.
Everybody has the COVID-15.
Yes,
and keep in mind, when people can go on holiday someplace warm, they're going to look good in their swimming trunks or bikinis.
Yeah.
It is true, I have to say, because I know when I go outside now, I literally don't put on any makeup, because especially now, because I've got the mask covering my face and then I've got a hat on covering my head. And it's just like, why bother?
Do you wear an eye mask too? That would be really funny.
Well, if you're
wearing
eyeglasses, or if I'm wearing sunglasses, you know, you can't, or even if you're wearing regular glasses, because they fog up so nobody can see you anyway.
Yeah, I've definitely worn a few outfits I don't think I ever would have worn pre-COVID times, and definitely wearing way too many workout pants, like endlessly.
Yeah, it was funny. I was actually looking at my closet yesterday thinking I should, I don't know, get dressed.
And then you thought to yourself, why?
That's crazy talk, girl. That's crazy talk.
But like, you have a family and a husband too.
They
say impressed, right?
Right. Yeah.
Date night.
I bet you're not wearing my pajamas. I'm wearing my jeans.
Right. I bet your teenage children are always saying, "Mom, you look so good."
Yes. Yeah. I've heard that. Never. But I think the point actually, maybe this is something we should be paying attention to. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, right? My sister-in-law got her vaccine today. It's happening, right? And so what is it that we're going to be wanting once we are all allowed out of our space? I don't know. What changes? Do we just go back to
JJ,
what we were?
I mean, great thinking there. The makeup and hair care and personal care,
and those are
memberships.
Yeah. And those are things that everybody in the economy to some degree or the other will take part in.
Yep.
Not just people at the very high end of the earning range. Although, of course, I think those are also good things to bet on, you know, that as the rich have gotten richer during this time, what do those richer people want and need?
Luxury travel.
I think a quality hotel is a need.
Is a need. I actually really need a new mattress, but that's a whole other thing.
You can have that.
Anyway, speaking of needs, I should probably go. We should all probably go because it's the middle of the day and we all have actual work to do. Although, JJ, I guess it's the evening for you, so you can go kick back with some Netflix and wine. But Dana and I need to go make money. So that has nothing to do with my crypto going up.
So, well, it's great to connect with you guys.
Yes, a little check-in, a little check-in, a little temperature check.
So, a little temperature check. And hopefully, Tula will have the energy to join us next time.
And as we wrap up, JJ, you've been following our social media world a little bit. Hey, we have some fans.
We do.
Oh my God.
We got a really nice, we got a couple nice notes from some of our Instagram followers. So shout out to them. Thanks so much.
It's so lovely.
We love hearing from you.
It is really, I mean, I don't think people, well, maybe they do know, but it matters. Like it really does feel so good.
It really does. Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. We had a comment from a listener, Angela, who said that she'd never really thought about investing before, but subscribed, listened to a bunch of our episodes, and is now really, she hasn't quite taken the plunge yet, but is thinking about it. So Angela, thanks for listening. And yes, we encourage you.
While we're name dropping, I'm going to give a shout out to Erica through Instagram. So thanks for reaching out to us and stay with us, you know, keep on with our journey.
Yes. And so if you like Women Take Stock, we'd love it if you could rate us, leave a review on whatever platform that you're listening on, drop us a line on Twitter.
Or a good stock tip.
Come visit us on Instagram. And we will give a shout out to you. And we want a shout out from you as well.
Yeah. So everyone have a good week. May your stocks and shares and portfolios rise as the temperature hopefully warms up. Bye, guys.
Bye.